B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. Well, you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Thursday at noontime here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. Want to thank 110 Grill for lunch today here at the Sports Hub. 110 Grill, they are growing 29 locations in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York. Modern American cuisine in a trendy, casual atmosphere.
Oh, they got good food. They stuff my
They've got a new one. Yep. They've got a new one in South Bay near the movie theater. Parking garage right there. Free parking. There's also one in Braintree. That's the one that I've been to.
I go to one in Wrentham.
You've got one in Wrentham?
I got one in Wrentham. Brand new.
Well, 29 locations.
Nice fire
pit. Great food. Mm. They brought in some awesome food here today.
Mm.
Really nice place. They also have private dining rooms, catering menu, all of that as well. Large gluten-free menu as well.
That's good for the gluten-free people.
I say no
to gluten.
I would say so. That would seem to be something that would be good for people who don't eat gluten. A gluten-free menu. That would be so. Burping last break.
That wasn't me.
It absolutely was. 110grill.com is where you go. Thank you again to 110 Grill. I want to get to this sound here. Let's just hear the start of Bill Belichick's press conference yesterday.
In a few days, getting familiar with the Bengals. And, first of all, let's say, I have a great deal of respect for, Mike Brown, the Brown family, and the Bengals organization. Always have. I think there's... this is a football team that, doesn't have a good record, but they actually do a lot of things really well.
All right, that was him on Mike Brown there again, bringing up Mike Brown, how much respect he has for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. This was following the conference call on Tuesday with Mike Reese. We mentioned this in passing on Tuesday. We never really got into it. But why don't we cue that up and play it, Tebow? We're not going to sit here and be able to listen to everything he says. But you just started. Start playing the Mike Brown question and praise from Bill.
Thanks, DC. Bill, we're going to Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, and in an era when most of these stadiums have sponsorships attached to them, their names. I was curious if being there, given the name of the stadium and what you've spoken about in the past regarding your admiration for Paul Brown, if being in that venue and making this trip has any special sort of meaning to you.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course. Thanks, Mike. I think Paul's really, Coach Brown's really the coach that, professional coach that, I've probably looked up to.
Okay. You can just turn it down. Don't stop the clip. We'll wait till we get to the Mike Brown stuff when he starts gushing about the respect for Mike Brown. Right? You can play in the background. It's fine. It's good. Mike Brown sucks. He is a horrible owner. He is the definition of bad NFL owner who has completely ruined a franchise, or maybe not even ruined it, but it's just had a terrible franchise under his leadership.
How about the tenure
of Marlins? Back nearly 30 years. The Bengals are a joke.
Marvin Lewis is one of the highest tenured coaches in the league. Like, they were so afraid to pull the plug on that guy. He kept talking him into retaining him. It's just the culture there, too.
Oh, here's the stuff on Mike.
The Brown family, Mike, and, Pete, who recently passed away, but... it's a football family. It's a very, it's a football environment.
That's it for him.
Going back to those Bengal training camps, what Coach Brown did with starting at the Severance School in Annapolis, Maryland. That was his first job. And, Ohio State, Great Lakes, and the Browns, and Maplin. And, he was really at the epicenter of great football at every level, high school, college, and professionally. In two different leagues, broke the color barrier or rebroke it, I should say.
He's talking about Paul here. I mean, Paul Brown's one thing. Mike Brown is something else. Paul Brown deserves all the praise in the world. Paul Brown was great for a lot of reasons. Mike Brown, his kid, is terrible. Terrible at owning a team. His team blows. His franchise is terrible. I believe his fans down there actually sued him at one point for being such a horrible owner and having taken the public money to build the stadium and yet going on to be so uncompetitive in the NFL. Uncompetitive is what they are. And just lazy, lazy NFL owners that appear to just not really care. And he doesn't get a lot of attention, but Mike Brown is another one of these Jerry Jones guys. Won't hire a GM. He's the guy. He's going to handle it. How's that worked out for the Browns in general?
Not good. Gave Marvin Lewis a lot of power. They ran a loose team. Think about all the transgressions that team has caused or been a part of over the years. The Adam Joneses, the Vontez Burfics. Keep going on and on. It's amazing for guys like Geno Atkins have been there for basically his entire career. You know, Carlos Dunlap. They still have some good players in certain spots. They just don't have a good team.
Well, thanks for asking, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the answer.
Oh, terrific.
Thank you.
Love it. No, let's talk about how much respect you have for the Bengals organization. The Bengals are terrible. What is there to respect about the Bengals?
He's not talking about the team.
He said, I respect the Bengals.
He's talking about the family. He's talking about football.
And then he said, respect for Duke and Mike, the whole organization. They're football people. They're straight up. Yeah, straight up horrible. They suck at their jobs. Other than being child of Paul Brown, I don't know where the redeeming quality of the Bengals organization is.
You know, this is a football team that doesn't have a good record, but they actually do a lot of things really well.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do much well there. I think they've been a beacon of suckitude in the NFL for quite some time. They're a bad team and a bad franchise.
So being a 9.5 point favorite with some guys banged up is a bad thing? They should be more.
They've subjected their fans to horrible teams for quite some time. I know they've made a bunch of wild card games with Marvin Lewis. They never won them. They went 0-for on all those wild card games.
Terrible.
What, 7 of them? I think it was 0-for-7 was Marvin Lewis in the wild card game. Could never win a playoff game.
Well, damn it. I wish Bert was still here, too. Remember, he would always pick Cincinnati as his new sexy team, favorite, so much talent. That was 3 years ago. They're going to Super Bowl.
Bert told me about this website, MikeBrownSucks.com. It was apparently created over 20 years ago now, and the site is still up, and it hasn't been updated in 10 years, and it looks like a site from the 1990s. It's like going into a time warp and seeing what the internet looked like in the 90s. MikeBrownSucks.com. That's a thing. And it's just all the enraged Bengals fans who hated their owner when they created it and kept it updated for quite some time because they think he's so bad. So bad. Sports nepotism. Horrible. Horrible. I don't know why this is annoying me. The Bengals are a wreck. And to hear Bill talk about how great they are, how much respect, for what?
Oh, it's a
because
length,
he
the
had the right
football family.
Why? Because
that's
the
him.
Guy
history.
Because he had the right dad?
Yeah, history. Yeah.
Oh, that's useless.
Yeah.
Who cares? It's one thing to say his dad was incredible and
this shouldn't be bugging you the way it is.
Really?
Yeah, this is odd.
To drone on for 5 minutes about the Bengals organization?
It's more about
that's just so fraudulent. They suck.
It's more about Paul Brown.
What? That's one thing. It's one thing to talk about Paul Brown. It's another one to say that Mike Brown is good at his job. He's not good. He's bad. There ain't much to respect there about how he runs his football team. He is not successful at doing that thing. Not good. And the Patriots are going to go there this weekend and stomp them like they, typically do.
They should.
Like most teams do this year.
Like last time we lost there. Driving rainstorm. It's an ugly day. That was the Aaron Dobson game.
People like Mike Brown are bad for the NFL. They are. Bad for their NFL, bad for their community, bad for the fans that live in Cincinnati. Bad for all those groups. So, yeah, when someone praises him and talks about how great he is and how much respect you should have for him, yeah, nope, I don't think so. That guy's no good.
I agree with all that. I disagree with the automatic going to go in there and stomp all over the Bengals. Because they didn't play well there the last time.
They did that rain game. They lost there.
13-6.
Yeah, they lost
Neil
there
just
in the
sent
rain.
An email too.
Remember they had that that comeback. The comeback was on, and all of a sudden the rainstorm hit.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, brutal.
Neil Collins. He sends us a lot of emails, a lot of facts and figures. Patriots history 13 games in Cincinnati. Seven of them, they've scored 10 or fewer points.
Wow. Interesting. Must be the chili. Too much chili.
I love chili.
Mike Brown. Him and his franchise blow. Let's call that for what it is. Bad franchise the Patriots are taking on this weekend. Get back to your calls coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ooh, Merry Christmas.
Christmas comes this time each year. It's the little Saint Nick.
It's the little Saint Nick. Just the little hops when we call it.
617-779-0985. Bengals. The crap bag team with a crap bag owner. His Wikipedia page is unbelievable. It's got all the different crap that has happened with him, including he was sued. The owner was sued down there because... First of all, there were a bunch of lawsuits back and forth. He was suing public municipalities. They started suing back. 2007, Hamilton County Commissioner Todd Portune filed a lawsuit in federal court against the NFL, the Bengals, and every team. He felt that, among other things, that published revenues from 1995 until 1999 contradicted the Browns' claims of financial distress. The Hamilton County Board of Commissioners eventually was substituted as a plaintiff in the case. Fans that supported the case said they felt there was a broken promise that the Bengals would be more competitive with the new stadium. The Bengals have had seven winning seasons out of the 16 since it opened. You can make that 7-17 now, I believe. And he hasn't won a playoff game since taking over from his father in the early 90s. 617-779-0985. Pete in Ohio on the Bengals. Hey, Pete.
Hey, boys. How you doing? Happy Thursday.
Hey.
Hey, I live in Cincinnati. I'm from back east originally. I can't tell you what a joke that organization is since 91, I guess I've been down there. The fans, look, my phone's been ringing off the hook, people trying to give me tickets. I'm a big Pats fan. Everybody, all my friends in Cincinnati know that. I've been turning them down. I don't want to spend a nickel in that stadium, and not even the Bengals fans would like to go and spend any kind of money. Let me go off on a little rant there. Carson Palmer left. He just quit in the NFL because the organization was so poorly ran. Other players have come out and said that they were paying for their own equipment, and this is the mid-90s, early 2000s. Own beverages inside the facility. It's an utter joke. And not only that, they've got the best deal as far as leasing, or I think they own the county owns the stadium, but their leasing fees, you're going to look that up. It's ridiculous.
Thanks for the answer.
I would suck to have to buy your own equipment. That would be awful. Right, give me the cheap helmet. What's the cheapest helmet you got in there? Is it small? All right, I'll fit my head.
No, Wall Street Journal did a story on their stadium deal and said the county was getting absolutely hosed by the deal with the Bengals, that they were getting crushed by the deal, that they had crippling debt because of the stadium that they built the Bengals, that they took on this massive amount of money, and this is Hamilton County. They took on the debt, they paid for it, and they suffer as a result of it, which means public services suffer because of a billionaire NFL owner who wanted to cry like a baby, and he threatened to move his team to Baltimore. This is before the Ravens moved there, before the Ravens, went from Cleveland to Baltimore. He was threatening to take his team to Baltimore. They caved, they built him a stadium, and he has repaid them by being absolutely terrible and keeping Marvin Lewis around there for like 15 years. That's how he repaid the county. Thanks for the stadium. Your team still sucks. What a guy.
Nice guy.
Must be great being a Bengals fan. I feel bad for those people. I feel bad for the people of Cincinnati in that area that want to have some sort of semblance of a team that has their act together. Joe's in Pittsfield. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi, Joe.
All right. Listen, Joe, I got a question for you. I've been talking with friends. I'm 61 years old. I play high school football. I played a month and a half in college. I was too stupid to do both, so I quit. But we used to do so much stuff with, like, we watch film, and then we studied. We get paper pencil tests, like, if they set up in this and they set up in this, this is what they might run. What's my question to you? My question to you, Joe, is what kind of benefit would they get from watching 8 minutes or 30 minutes when they have to watch film and study, study defenses, study offensive formations, you know, if the flankers out here, if they call them that anymore. I mean, that's my question. What benefit could they possibly get with all the other stuff they have to prepare for?
Body language. How's a guy calling a game? Like, remember the Super Bowl, Bill goes, okay, where's McVay? I need to know where he's at. Is that him right there? All right, let's keep an eye on him.
The best example,
Pete Carroll.
You
know, Pete Carroll, you know, on his knees, he's got his hands on his knees. You know, Pete, he's in anxiety, you know, or is he chomping his gum walking up the sideline?
Yeah.
You know mannerisms of coaches.
Yeah, here's what I would say. There isn't much to be gained from that. There isn't much.
You can still
signal. So stupid, why would they be going on?
They send signals in on the helmets anyway. Like, what? But, oh, okay. They're going to hold up two, and it's going to be covered two? Oh, wow, that's new. Huh. Wow, you can hold up four, it's covered two. Yeah, or split it. Split
this
tables.
Is about rules. There are rules in the NFL. This is a rule. It's an easy one to follow. The Patriots did not follow it. They openly admit they broke the rule. They broke it. And so now it's a matter of how severely do they get punished.
Right.
And how long does it take? I'm still going back to that Roger Goodell yesterday. It sort of contradicts the reports that are out there that it would be wrapped up quickly. Roger says not so fast. They're going to be thorough and they'll take their time. And I believe Troy Vincent was asked if it would be wrapped up by the end of the year, and he would not comment on that.
Drop it Super Bowl week. That's the issue.
Yeah, right.
Drop it Super Bowl week. That week in between. Yeah.
We'll drop it there. The punishment will come down sometime in the playoffs for you. 617-779-0985 is the phone number for you. That would be a circus and a half. You don't think the players are at all caring about this, right?
No.
I don't either.
No.
We got asked a couple of days ago if we thought they would rally around it or it would be one of those sort of points like it was with Deflategate or it was...
No, because that's them blaming your coach, you know?
You know, in Spygate...
Because it's got nothing to do with them.
Well, in Spygate, it was being said, listen, the Patriots' success is because of this. We've figured it out. And players took that personally. Because there were players on that team that had played in three Super Bowls or multiple Super Bowls.
I can see Bill walking in that first team meeting and say, hey, guys, there's something out there that happened on the other side of the building. If you get asked about it, I don't know a damn thing about it because I sure as hell don't. So, all right, let's get ready for Cincinnati. And boom, off and running with the game plan.
But it's not going to inspire them in any way.
No. Let's circle the wagons, huh? Let's circle the wagons for the camera guy that screwed up. No.
It just doesn't have that feeling about it.
Now, the Brady one was good because they took your quarterback away for four games. Remember that week five?
Right, directly impacted a guy on the team. Yeah. This won't.
Your best one, yeah.
Well, that one, and that's got like a tangible like cause and effect. Oh, you say the reason why we are winning all those games is because we are letting the air out of the footballs. Watch this. Yeah, go ahead and measure them 10 times a game. Inflate them as much as you want, we'll still go win. That you could make a case for, okay, that's something to rally behind a little bit. This? But was anything really done? I don't know. Did we do anything? No. Nothing to do with us.
There's a comparison being drawn today by Michael Hurley about this Patriots team. Not to 2015, but to 2013.
13.
Is there something to be drawn between those two teams? We'll discuss that coming up after Hardy's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and two for New England from the Bronco 28. Tom Brady steps back in the gun. Two receivers right, two left. New England trails 23. Brady takes the snap under a rush. Brady's wrapped up. Brady is sacked. And the Patriots turn it over on downs. Terrence Knighton takes down the quarterback. Outside the 38 to the Bronco 39.
Terrible job up front. You got beat by four rushers. Five guys blocking four. This should never happen. Right up the gut. You got caved in.
Oh, what a homer Zoe is.
Yeah, mm-hmm, sure.
What about it?
What about that?
No, I just said you get your ass kicked up front. Rushing four guys, you're blocking them with five, should never happen. It's awful. Right. Came right up the gut.
Okay. All
fourth right. And two, couldn't even pick it up. Dropped seven, rush four. Unbelievable. That pissed me off.
What is, this latest videotape thing have to do with the Pats' legacy?
Six Super Bowls. That's what it does. Count them.
That's you. That was you.
Yesterday. When did I say that?
Yesterday.
I didn't say that.
2 days ago.
Two days ago. The caller yesterday accused you of saying it. Mm. He wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
How's this most recent development affect the legacy?
The greatest ever!
Six banners.
Six rings. Six trophies.
What's he have on the side of his boat? Six rings? Is it called the name of his boat?
No, because he has the Giants ones on there, too. Does he not?
Sure does. Nine.
Well, six eight. Plus two would be eight.
Eight rings. Nine. Nine
It's like
times.
Brett Ritchie yesterday. I didn't think we were going to go 79 and five, whatever it is. Did you hear that?
Yes. Let's get to this comparison from this team in 2013 from Mike Hurley, who points out that the 2013 team went 12-4, going 2-2 against playoff teams and 2-1 against division leaders. This year's team 10-3, having gone 3-3 against current playoff teams and 1-3 against current division leaders. As he writes, Pittsburgh may not end up making the playoffs, thus removing a win from the Patriots. He says this year's team is coming off a loss where the referee and officiating crew were not helping them very much. And it was a game where this ruled to be a foot out of bounds. And in 2013, the team lost an overtime game thanks to what to that same referee calling illegal pushing. That's right, on the Jets game, illegal pushing. Mm-hmm. And in 2013, the Patriots also lost that game in Carolina where Gronk was interfered with. Appeared to be interfered with on the final play of the game. So there's that. He says there's also some similarities when you look at the offensive statistics in why 2019 feels the most like 2013. Brady, personal stats projected for 2019, obviously, but here's what he was in 2013. 4,343 yards, 6.9 yards per attempt, 25 touchdowns, 11 picks, and a rating of 87.3 with 40 sacks. 2019 projected, 4,230 yards. That's within 100-plus yards, yardage-wise. Instead of 6.9 yards per attempt, he's projected to stay at 6.6 yards per attempt, obviously. Mm. He's on pace for 23 touchdowns, very similar to 25. 9 picks, very similar to 11. And a rating of 86.5. That's within 8/10 of a point of what he was in 2013. He's on pace for fewer sacks with 30 compared to the 40 in 2013. But in 2013, this team took it all the way to the AFC Championship game. And although it didn't end well, they did compete, right? I mean, they did
yes.
at the end. I guess that's what we should hang on to is the hope, if you will, that there were, and that sack was the Terrence Knighton sack in that Denver game. But there were names that were pretty bad when you go through it because he says, as you surely know, those who watched every moment of the 2013 season saw the season conclude the way that anyone could have reasonably expected. Brady was chucking bombs to Matthew Slater, throwing passes to Matthew Mulligan and Aaron Dobson.
Who was a quarterback in Denver then?
Targeting Austin Colley. It was...
Manning.
2013?
No, Manning won the year before you won. Super Bowl 49, 48, so...
It was him.
It was Manning.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
How many years was he there? I thought he was only there like 2 years.
Manning got there in 2012.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Peyton Manning.
Yeah, took a shot at Slater on a deep post.
But Mulligan, Dobson, Austin Colley.
Austin Colley, who was concussed half the time.
And so, I mean, there's a comp there that they get, you know.
There's similar talent.
They go on the road in the AFC Championship game, they lose. Yeah. I mean, that seems pretty plausible.
Defense was not that good, too, then.
But you could also look at that and say, yeah, but they were close to coming out on the right side of that. I mean, they made it closer at the end.
Took it to the wire. You missed a kick, and it changed everything the way you approached that game. Yeah. Damn.
So, I mean, I don't know. There's something to be... Well, no, because 20...
Oh, I'm sorry. That was
the one they lost by. You're thinking 2015.
Right.
They lost by 10 points, and it wasn't close going into the fourth quarter. It was 23-3, but... You know, if a couple things go differently in that game, if you're a little bit better by the time they play that game, I don't know, maybe they were more competitive. I don't know. I'm looking for some sort of positive there, but that paints a picture of them going to the AFC title game on the road and losing. If you hang on to the number two seed, you win a playoff game at home, you're on the road against Baltimore, you're on the road against the Ravens, and it's just, do you feel like, you know, that's a likely outcome?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch them tonight and see how they play the Ravens. I know Thursday games are get-through type games, but, you know, Jackson's dealing with the bruise above the knee. You know, teams are hitting it now. You hear Earl Thomas bitching about how now all of a sudden refs are letting Lamar Jackson get hit more. Yeah, you get outside the pocket, you become a runner.
You're running.
You want to run that? You want to run around like a nut? Yeah, you could take that kid's head off if you wish. Yeah, you could hit him. Doesn't mean he's a running quarterback. It means he now becomes a runner. Just the same way you could have hit Croak Brady last week when he was running. I wonder if style points for them. Is it time for them to start amping it up? Like, they're winning some tight, close games, ugly games. But they're winning them. That's the key. That'll help them. But Jets tonight, I mean, still got Cleveland, Pittsburgh. There's a chance there. You might get even with them, but they got you in head-to-head. So, really, it's like a two-game lead.
It's a long shot. Real long shot. Don is in Bellingham. Hey, Don.
Yes. I'm 73 years. You guys do a great job. Listen, I'm 73 years old. I grew up in the 60s. Two, three, four games they'd win a year, right? And then all of a sudden they start winning these Super Bowl playoff games. They get Kraft comes in there, which is a class act. And they get caught a couple of times doing these things. Why isn't somebody saying, don't pick up a camera ever again? What's going on here? Listen, they're going to be on probation for the rest of their lives. So I just don't get it.
I don't either. Don, I'm with you. I'm with Don.
We should do the Don and Jim show.
I stand with Don.
Don and Jim will co-host the show. Jim from Connecticut. Hey, what's up? Yeah, 73 years old. I don't think they're going to be on double secret probation.
I'm with Don. Why are you going to ruin a good thing by doing this nonsense? And there's nothing to say that this was willful. That what they did here.
Correct.
This could be an honest mistake, but how could you be so careless? How could you be so sloppy as to let this happen? That's very disappointing. Letting some nonsense like this for your stupid YouTube.com, Facebook show, whatever you do with this thing, You got to make sure you get your clicks on Twitter. Like, because, what the hell are you doing?
Because it's the fans, Beetle. They demand more and more content. You got to give them stuff.
All right,
and pictures do better than words. Videos do better than pictures. They're not doing this for their health.
Leave them disappointed on the .com front in order to make sure you don't leave them disappointed on the football front.
But just don't think that they're going out of their
prioritize
way willy-nilly and being reckless for no reason. It's because this is what
they're being reckless for the almighty click.
It's what the fans demand. Fine. More, more, more. Give me more about my team. Tell me more.
Hardy, you got to take on the Bruins losing games to good teams?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the near point, the Caps have it. They'll hoist the backhand into the slot. And Torey Krug touches the puck as the horn sounds. The Washington Capitals victorious 3-2 in regulation over the Boston Bruins. The Bruins now 0-2 thus far on a four-game road trip, and they have gone winless in four consecutive games for the first time since early November.
Bruins in a slide. It's coinciding with them playing good teams this year. If you look at who they've lost to, lost to either like rival teams or teams that are good. You know, the emotional games or the teams against good teams. Should I read into that, or is it just the ebb and flow
of
the season? That's what I wonder.
I think some of it is the ebb and flow, but I got to say, watching last night, and this is going to sound dumb because now they've lost.
I know what you're going to say. I don't think it is, but go.
They've lost something ridiculous. Like 17 straight now to the Capitals. I mean, they can't beat that team.
Oh, it's cursed.
When's the last time they beat the Capitals, or at least in D.C.? This is a team that they have issues with. I get it. I would love to see a series between these two teams.
I wouldn't.
You didn't know I was going to say that,
no,
did you?
No, I didn't know you were going to say that. That seems insane.
What's
because I think if they were to play the Capitals in a series, if they got all the way to...
Uh-huh.
They'd get smoked.
See, they
I don't know.
They played them tight last night. Cassidy said it.
They got their ass kicked in past games, like 5 goals, 4 goals, 3 goals. Like, they've given up some big deficits in games.
Yes.
But you're right. If they play that way, and they said this type of hockey they want to get back to playing, more of this style.
So, like, let's assume that's an Eastern Conference Finals matchup. You want that?
Yes.
You want to have to deal with that team?
That's like Patriots, Kansas City. Yes.
Or you could get the easiest path to the cup and end up losing Game 7.
Well, like, this is a hell of a
give me
run.
A good series to watch along the way.
No, that's not good for the Bruins. I'd rather take the gritty, crappy Columbus matchup and not do the Capitals matchup. If you want them to get back to the finals again.
I am always, of the opinion, give me the easiest route there, right?
That's how they did it last year.
That's how they did
it because they were great,
right?
They didn't do it because they were the best team all year long.
No, I want to be tested. I want to be nonsense. Yeah, give me the hardware at the end of it. I don't care who got beat, so you wouldn't have to play him, blah, blah, blah. But in just a vacuum.
Nobody remembers your path.
In a vacuum, right?
No, you don't remember.
Nobody remembers the path.
A 7-game series, a best of 7 between the Bruins and the Capitals would be outstanding. Just to be able to watch Ocean.
I'm with you on that.
Ovechkin. I mean, just to watch the hockey. T-Bone was talking about it last night. I mean, that was an entertaining game.
The hardest part of those series over this last year at the end there was the lack of hatred you had for the other team. Like, you wanted, we need something in this series.
Yes.
We started making fun of their cities and the rock bands there. Was it Columbus the one where the guy was humping jumping on those statues? What the hell was that? Those big white statues?
Yeah, the corn.
Corn, that's right. And Columbus? Weird. Just weird.
And that was a game last night that could have gone either way.
Exactly. It came down to it.
You're basing
that. Oh, by the way, Caps have won 16 of the last 17 against the Bruins.
An insane number.
There's a chance.
That is fanboy Bruin. That is Bruin fanboy T-Bone back there. It could easily go either way.
It could have.
Feel that way. Because I feel like no matter what, the Capitals were going to respond to anything the Bruins did in that game. I felt about that game.
Well,
how I feel about those matchups.
They had home ice. They had last change.
And the Bruins have already had, 12 goals taken away on review this year?
I mean,
that's unbelievable.
Okay, now we're going to blame the refs.
Yeah.
You want to give us ref assignments, too, for the NHL there?
Look that up.
Now, I didn't see in detail.
I think we need an overhaul of the ref.
Yeah, over a top-down overhaul.
It was the Bergeron goal that got taken back last night, right, T-Bone?
Yep.
I only saw, it once, but how bad was it?
As egregious as some of the others, but...
So they were right to take it off the board?
But, I mean, a game of inches.
I want nothing to do with that Capitals team for the Bruins. I can't believe you won a series between the two of them.
You want to know why?
They get crushed.
You want to hear something double crazy?
Yeah, dumb.
I want to see it with Tuukka in net. Because it was Halak last night. Give me Tuukka. And Halak's great. Halak's been playing phenomenal. And he played well last night. Give me a series.
A Capitals-Bruins series might be the thing that brings out the platoon of goalies in a playoff series for the Bruins. That might be the thing.
No.
It might be.
No.
You need to throw fresh goalies on the ice at all times to try and slow that thing down. You need excellent goaltending.
Oh, I'm watching Oshie's goal again. Oh.
Quickly, how old do you think TJ Oshie is?
27. 50.
I thought he was older than he is. It just feels like he's been around.
Like 25? What is he?
He's 32.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, no idea. No clue.
T-Bone and I were surprised to know that he was 30.
It seems like that Olympics was.
It wasn't. That was 2014. That was Sochi in 2014. But it just feels like a lot longer ago than it was. And he's only 32.
Hmm. For a team that just dropped their fourth straight after having that incredible start, I didn't feel bad about that team last night. Pastrnak's goal.
Oh no, they competed
gorgeous.
Here. I mean, it's not like they got crushed or blown out.
No,
I just feel like they were skating with a better team out there. A team that's capable than what the Bruins are capable of. That's all.
I don't feel that way.
That's a tough team right there.
It is a tough team. They got another tough one tonight. They got the Lightning tonight.
Yeah, oof. They're not having a great year, though.
Then you're in Florida. Yeah.
They're still high up in power rankings, though.
Yeah, a lot of people up the board.
Yeah, people love the Lightning.
Yeah, talented group. No
they
doubt.
Are.
You want to take Mark here before we go?
He's been hanging.
Mark in Medford.
What's up?
Thank you, Zoe.
How you doing?
What's up? Listen, I know the Bruins have lost the good teams. They have also lost the bad teams. But the bright side is here, guys. They're still the second best team of the Eastern Conference. But there's one thing sticking out like a sore freaking thumb right now. And that's the play of Charlie Nevoy. I don't know if it's a sophomore jinx or what, but he is playing awful.
Been quiet.
Okay. McAvoy sucks.
I don't know.
In the eyes of Mark.
I don't think McAvoy sucks.
I didn't see McAvoy suck last night. Actually, McAvoy is one of the players I can remember who was playing pretty well last night. Krug was playing well last night. Krug went end-to-end on one play where you were expecting one of those nice breakouts from their own zone. And you remember last year when they were working on the breakout, or maybe it was two seasons ago, nifty new breakout that we're going to do, just took the puck himself last night from pretty much behind the goal and took it all the way through the neutral zone. It was fast. Got that puck in. Like to see it. It's good. They battled. They played him for the full 60.
There's people that want to get rid of Krug.
Oh, it would be such a huge mistake. Such a huge mistake. For a league where everybody wants a puck moving defenseman.
Who are the people that are calling? Wait, we're going to back that up. Who's calling for Krug to go?
What are you on? Bruins website?
There's people
Bruins,
that want him actively.
No. They don't want to pay him. They don't want to pay him what he's going to.
Okay, well, that's different.
And they're saying that Grizzlick can give you what he gives you on the power play, which is just the most ridiculous thing.
But I like Grizzlick's game, too. That's a problem with a team that's playing well. You like elements of just about everybody right now.
We were talking about it last week. 2011, they were looking for the puck-moving defenseman. Now they got seven of them.
Right.
Well, yeah. It's sort of the way the style of play is changing this league, too. Mm-hmm. But nobody is better than Krug in that regard here.
Now, conversely, Beetle, Now, if we're going to do any Celtics talk today, the last thing I want to see is a Pacers series with the Celtics. I hate the way that team plays. I watched that game last night, too. Watching Brogdon leaning into shots to get his foul calls. Perfect from the free throw
line.
You're
not talking about a competitive reason. You're talking about just what you want to see.
Just entertainment value.
Entertainment value is
bad. The same thing with the Bruins and Capitals. I don't love the Bruins' chances in a best of seven against the Capitals, but I think it'd be fun as hell to watch. Char's out there scrapping last night. I think it would be great. But the Pacers, ugh. I've never cared about that team. I have barely cared about that team when Reggie Miller was there. Who cares?
90 seconds here. Hardy has your headlines. We're right back. Mix this into the conversation.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.